The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Previously on Waiting for Doom.
Hello and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the podcast where we obsess over how long it will be before the mighty Doom Patrol get their own comic again.
I'm Mike, and you can find me on Twitter at AvantGarve, and you can also find the show account there, which is at WFDPod, and you can also email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com.
But no one ever does.
We are waiting for the Doom Patrol to come back in any form, in any way. We can't wait. Anyway, I'm Paul, and you can find me on Twitter at reading_hick.
I just look for the picture of the koala getting punched.
Wait a minute, what's that ticking? It is the Doom Clock.
Wow.
So it's been over 4.5 years since they had their own series.
That's a bloody long time.
It is. It's
bloody ridiculous.
You know, being the Doom Patrol, not everything goes to plan. So in the great tradition of scientists in the Doom Patrol, he has an animal. Paramecium, Giacomo, I'm learning all sorts of things. The action chair. Just roll with it.
Okay, sure. And this week, we welcome a very special guest to the show, Jessica Boyd.
What's up, y'all?
We're joined by Christopher Sabella.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Ridiculously accomplished and talented, Gabe Hardman.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Gabriel.
We're talking to Jeff Parker today.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the Doomcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Doug Zavisha.
Hi, everybody.
We have a special guest today. It's Dr. Ange.
Hey, thanks for inviting me.
So, yeah, like Grant Morrison, I would, like, he's the type of dude who I would, like, sneak glances at from across the room and be like, okay, well, that's cool enough. Like,
you dare not step any closer, sort of thing.
Yeah. Because, yeah, what am I going to... I don't know. It's like, what do I say to these people?
You said before you read the recent Justice League issues that the Patrol appeared in. What did you think of them, their setup in that? And that they were basically a team working for Argus, which was kind of like, you know, patrolling and watching all these superpowered people around the world. What was your take on that?
Let me ask you a question. Was that written by one of the co-publishers of DC Comics?
It may have been.
Now, I'm sorry for you guys. You guys have to wait for any little scrap of like, will someone mention Rita in this comic, or you know, or something? It's like, what will happen that will be tangentially related?
So you're well aware of the basic premise of the show, then, really?
And now you two are waiting for Doom. This pleases Wilfred.
Doom Patrol. Negative Man. Elastigirl. Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Caldao. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello, and welcome back to Waiting for Doom, the world's greatest Doom Patrol-related podcast ever, of all time.
I'm Paul, and I'm part of this show, and you can find me on Twitter at reading_hicks, and we have a Gmail account for emails, the email form of communication that we subscribe to, and that's at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. We're on Facebook for Facebook-style interactions, and we have episodes that are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and podbean.com, and we're also part of the Inner Circle Comics mobster family. I don't know what they are.
You dirty rat. Yes, hello, I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter at AvantGarve. You can also find on Twitter our Sentient Show Twitter account, Wilfred, who is at WFDPod.
Yeah. Today on the show, we're just talking about the year that we had doing this podcast, and looking forward to the next year. So, yes, this is our end of the year. We started the very beginning of 2015, and we're seeing out the year in the end of 2015. So happy new year to everybody who's listening here. Hope you're partying safely and responsibly.
Or not, as some people maybe want to do. Look, you know, every experience is a learning experience. You know, if you can walk away from it, fine. But yes, Happy New Year, everyone. By the time you hear this, it'll be either 2016 or very close to it.
So, yeah. And if you wait 2 years to listen to it, it'll be 2018.
Yes. Okay, we might have a new listener who's only hearing us for the first time in 2018 and going back through all the old episodes. So yes, welcome to them as well.
It's not confusing. It makes sense.
Not at all. Not at all.
So, Mike, before we get talking about the year that was, 2015, let's talk about the week that was, the last week of the year.
Yeah,
how's it going for you?
Well, it was all right. I had some good comics. Tyson Hesse's Diesel, that wrapped up. It's 4-issue miniseries run. That was a lot of good fun. Kind of manga.
What's Diesel about?
It's about a young girl called Dee who lives in a fantasy world where, you know, villagers are actually floating ships, and there's, you know, like half bull, half man type people, and evil chickens that are out to kill mankind, sort of thing. So it's a very odd yet whimsical fantasy series, I would say. And this young girl Dee, she has a robot friend, and she discovers this power she has over certain mechanical items. And there's a big adventure, and it ends on a note that hopefully means there'll be another series of it. It's really cool fun. It's really good. So there was that. There was another installment to the Vader Down series, which was, that was okay. Batman and Robin Eternal, that's still plugging along. That's good fun. World's End, again, more fun. So, and then Paybacks from Dark Horse Comics. I found out that that's wrapping up, and I believe it's happened kind of unexpectedly as well. So, Paybacks was kind of like if you were a superhero that couldn't repay the loan that gave you all your fancy gear, you kind of went into superhero debt collection.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a clever idea. I like that idea.
It's from Donny Cates. It's set in the same universe as his Buzzkill miniseries from 2014. Still one of my all-time favorite superhero-related miniseries of all time. Payback's really cool premise, really great art, really fun, exciting story. Apparently, it's going to live on, but elsewhere. Donnie hasn't given away all the clues yet, but apparently there will be announcements in the near future, so we're looking forward to that. So, yeah, it was a fun week last week. I'm looking forward to getting some comics right at the very end of 2015, but we can talk about them next year. What about you, Paul? What's been happening in your week?
Well, just before I get to that, Donnie Cates sounds like a teen heartthrob from the 70s. Yeah.
He will love that quote. We'll get Wilfred to let him know when you say that. He will love that. Very cool guy. Look up Donny Cates on Twitter. Very cool guy.
All right, I will. I probably won't. I've been doing a bit of reading. So I read Daredevil number 2. And not really warming to this run of Daredevil, I must admit.
Okay.
You know how some comics have lots of intrigue and build up and everything, and there's it feels like it's going to be epic.
Yeah,
this just feels a little bit on the small scale, so a little bit disappointed. The art is fabulous, the art by Ron Garney, so he's trying some very interesting new styles, and it's very cool. And Charles Soule is the writer, and you know, that just sounded like a match made in heaven. The the lawyer by day who writes Daredevil by night. Okay. But, I'm not loving it, I must admit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you read the last Mark Waid run of Daredevil?
I read a massive chunk of it, never made it till the very end.
Right.
So when they rebooted the series, I didn't follow him off to San Francisco, but I read everything up to the point.
Right.
So, and that was mostly really, really good. So.
Okay.
Yeah, what else have I been reading? I read The Ultimates 1 and 2, which is the new version of The Ultimates, no longer in the Ultimate Universe, but in the 616 universe. So where they took on Galactus and sort of reprogrammed him to be less Galactus-y.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, he's now the, instead of the devourer of worlds, he's the giver of life. So he shows up on dead worlds and makes them alive. So
no.
Reinvigorates. Yeah.
Holy jeez. I think you may have just sold me on that book. Because I was kind of not that interested, even though Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers is in it. I thought, no, I'll wait for her own series next year. Well, this year. By the time people hear this, and I thought, just another team. But okay, you've probably sold me on that line alone. Anyway, so continue.
Yeah, but the art by Ken Rocafort is awesome. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm mostly reading these due to Doug Savisa has given me some codes every now and again. It's a fantastic service that he offers to certain people in Australia.
Wow, how lucky for you to be getting codes for comics, eh? Yeah.
Hey, yes, Mike provides me with Darth Vader and Star Wars codes. So Secret Wars, yes. I'm completely up to date with why Darth Vader is down and where he's down in particular.
Right.
So,
thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
That's all right. That's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, but other than that, just catching up on some old reading, so did a bit of research for an upcoming episode of Waiting for Doom. And been reading some Legion of Superheroes, which is always rewarding.
Cool.
But involving, so, yeah.
One other cool superhero-related thing I did get to this week, I finally finished season one of The Flash.
Wow.
Exactly. How good was that? It was like...
Yeah. It was pretty awesome, wasn't it?
I may have sworn quite loudly when the very last episode ended. And yes, I'm very keen for season two now. So, yeah, that was a lot of good fun, that show. Yeah, good
it
stuff.
It was. Mm. Well, maybe we should segue into our best of the year stuff.
Okay.
If you're ready.
I'm as unready as I'm going to be. I'm terrible at end of year lists. I really am. I will do my best.
All right. Go for it. Now, I'm limiting this to only four categories because I'm not very imaginative and I haven't listened to any music this year, so I can't comment on music this year. I don't know if you want to comment on music. Yeah, anyway.
No, it's all young people, you know, stompy, shouty, you know, rah-rah.
It's all crumping now.
Crumping, twerking. Back in my day, it was good stuff like grunge, you know.
Yeah, and every second track has Pitbull in it, so yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, these categories.
Okay, so best movie of the year. Mike, what was your best movie of 2015?
Oh, God.
Any honorable mentions?
I'm going to give an honorable mention to Avengers Age of Ultron. Because I thought that was a really cool superhero film. I mean, people had problems with it and certain things happened with it and whatever, dude. It was a big, fun, ass-kicking superhero comic book movie that came to life on the big screen. And I thought it was great fun. So that's my honorable mention.
Okay.
I'm now trying to rack my brain as to what films I actually saw this year.
Do you need a hand?
I might need a hand.
Okay, so 2015, one of the biggest films of the year was Jurassic World, right? Mm-hmm. And no comment on Jurassic World there. No. Okay.
It was fine. If people enjoyed it, that was fine.
Superhero films, we had Ant-Man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good fun too. Yeah.
Little art house film at the end of the year that people were commenting on, Star Wars. Did you hear about that?
See, I want to make that my best film of the year, but it's so recent, and I know people just going to go, good one, Mike. You're just jumping on the bandwagon at the last moment.
Mike, this is your podcast. You can say whatever you want.
Okay, I'm going to say Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, was my favorite film of the year because I had tears welling up in my eyes from the opening crawl to the end credits. I just had so much fun with that film. I don't care that it was very reminiscent of Episode 4. I really don't. It was a fun movie. I got what I paid for. I got some, you know, big explosions and colourful action in outer space for a couple of hours. And it was great, and I loved it. So there we go. I'll get that out of the way. Episode 7, my favourite movie of the year. Honourable mention to Avengers Age of Ultron. Your turn.
Okay. All right. This was the year of Fantastic Four, which I've concluded was the worst film I saw this year.
I still have not seen that yet. So you're...
Well, don't bother. Don't take my advice and do not bother.
Okay.
Star Wars was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I like Star Wars. One film I think that everyone crapped on that actually I saw and it wasn't that bad was Pixels.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly I'm enjoying that because my son really loved it, and I think it is a perfect film for someone around his age, 10, 11, around that age. Mm-hmm. It's dumb and fun. But my number one film of the year was Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, see, I could have picked that one, but no. Excellent choice, though, sir. Excellent choice.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was an incredible film, and... You know, unlike Star Wars, I am keen to watch Mad Max again anytime. Well, I am keen to watch Star Wars, but I'd much rather watch Mad Max. Mm-hmm. So.
Any honourable mentions other than, or was that Pixels? And
Pixels, I think, is the honourable mention.
Okay.
Just because everyone pooed on it. not literally, but you know.
Yeah. Next category.
Next category. All right, comic of the year.
Shall I take this first?
Okay. Interesting category. I didn't read a hell of a lot of new comics this year. Fairly limited in what I read. I enjoyed quite a few things. You know, they're all entertaining. I do want to give a shout out to Justice League United because that became a must read under Jeff Parker.
Yes.
And included Robot Man, which makes it a must read.
Yes.
For us, yes.
That's right.
But I think the single best outstanding comic of the year for me was probably Airboy.
Wow.
The first issue of that absolutely blew me away with its raw honesty from the writer, James Robinson. Uh-huh. Coupled with some amazing artwork by Greg Hinkle. So well done to them. I think that was probably the most amazing comic I'd read in a couple of years' time.
Wow.
So, yeah, certainly it was incredible. So,
for those that may not have read Airboy, give us the very brief elevator pitch about it.
It's about the writer and the artist having a massive bender, grappling with how to revive this old public domain character, Airboy. Right. And then Airboy starts entering into their depraved world. So it's got sex and drug use and all sorts of things like that.
Right.
And, one of the most astounding things about it is James Robinson just lets it all hang out about his, you know, his life, his career, his... writing rut, his the dissolution of his marriage, all these things that happened in real life to him are just all paraded up masts quite spectacularly. So,
wow.
Yeah, so that was my number one of the year.
Okay.
Mm.
Wow.
Alex and Ada?
Actually, no. That's Alex and Ada was a really good comic. It was a great comic. It got me right in the feels. But I'm going to say my favorite comic series of the year was and is Black Science from Image Comics, written by Rick Remender with art by Matteo Scalera. I love the heck out of this comic book. It's about an anarchist scientist, Grant McKay, who invents this machine called the Pillar, which allows him and his team to jump through to alternate dimensions. And of course, it all goes so incredibly wrong. So it's kind of a bit like Lost in Space, with a lot more vulgarity and swearing and violence. Not that those are like the whole, you know, hooks to to get into the series, but the art is amazing. The situations they get into are just tense and exciting and amazing as well. And there's all this interpersonal drama between the people on the team, and not everyone makes it through every dimension jump. And I got to meet Mateo Scalera at HeroesCon very briefly and kind of mumbled my pure love for his artwork, and he was like, oh, okay, thanks, man. And he signed my copy of Black Science 1 for me, and I was like, okay, I can go and faint now. So that was really cool. I can't get enough of Black Science. It's one of those Image books that occasionally takes a hiatus so that, you know, the artist and the writer can take a breather and get caught up. That's one of the series where I literally get really upset and angry when they announce they're having another break, because I'm like, no, I want it on time. I can't wait. So, but I'm glad they do take the breaks, because it allows them to just deliver a brilliant, breathtaking comic. And that's one of those series that I will never get rid of from my collection. You know, I love it so much. It's brilliant. It's great.
Ooh, awesome. I've read a bit of Black Science. I read the first trade. So, yeah, there's a little bit of Sliders in there. If you remember Sliders?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is much better. Okay, next category.
Oh, okay. I found this is the comic collection category, which as a trade waiter, this is usually a big deal for me. But, oh, what a difficult year. Yeah, this was the year as a massive DC fan that I thought DC really dropped the ball. So, ooh, you know, they were in a fair bit of decline. But anyway, let's look for the best. I thought one of the best new DC collections was the finale to Brian Azzarello's Wonder Woman run.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty sweet. That series comes out in there's six collections of it, so it's complete. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it was one of the it's a good one to have it, you know, on your shelf.
Yes.
Yeah, I got the second Hawkeye hardcover, the oversized hardcover of Hawkeye by Fraction and Naja.
Oh yes.
Uh-huh. Yep. Which is good, really good. About bloody time.
Yeah, imagine trying to read that series in single issue format.
Who would do that? I think the thing that saved the day was probably the trade that arrived today in the mail, which was The Demon, Hell's Hitman, which was the long-awaited collection of Garth Ennis, John McRae, Demon run, which came out today, and it's beautiful. And just as an aside, the trade design on this was probably the best thing I've seen from DC in forever. It's just got such a cool spine design. It's looks like nothing else DC have produced lately. So lots of fun there. And they're the stories that introduced Tommy Monaghan, Hitman, into the DC universe.
Yes.
Yeah, so he debuted in the Demon Annual number 2 by Garth Ennis and John McRae. And then he showed up a few times in The Demon before getting his own Hitman series after The Demon wrapped. So so that's the first of two trades that DC are bringing out to collecting that run. So that's really good. And cool. It's always good to see new Suicide Squad trades come out. And there was another one of them this year. So we finally got a new one from the John Ostrander, Luke McDonald run, which is from the 80s. That's the only Suicide Squad run that you have to own.
Right. Okay.
You're listening, Mike?
Yes. Add it to the list. Said writing with invisible ink. For me, it's a bit different for me in that I don't get a lot of collected editions, nowhere near the amount that you do, Paul. So my choices are fairly limited. But I will say the Teen Titans collection that came out in 2015, later in the year, I can't recall the title of it, but it had the story where they teamed up with Robot Man and with Mento to go and track down the Brotherhood and get revenge, basically, for the death of the Doom Patrol. I really enjoyed that because it was a Doom Patrol story I'd not read before. And, you know, admittedly, it was very 80s-ish in that there was a lot of dialogue in it. So that was interesting to see again as well. But yeah, that would be my pick, just because I have so few trades that I picked up this year, and I really enjoyed talking about it with you too.
Hmm. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Normally, I mean, to be honest, I usually get about 60 trades a year, or, you know, collections.
Holy
this. Yeah. Now this year I only got 36.
Oh, so okay.
That just, and mostly that is due to the rising Aussie dollar against the US.
Yep.
And the fact that DC, you know, I'm not getting a lot of their line anymore when I used to, you know, right, get a significant chunk of it. Anyway.
Well, things all change.
All right. Yeah, things do change. Okay. Mike, did you listen to many podcasts in 2015?
No, I did not. some of the ones that I did listen to either wrapped up or went on extended hiatus for many and varied reasons. Particularly Didn't Read It podcast, I enjoyed their Brand of Silliness, where they talked about what they actually did not read that week.
Yep.
And Comics Therapy, they're on a bit of a break still, but I love hearing Andrea and Aaron get really in-depth with their comics discussion. So I guess the only other one I really still listen to regularly or watch regularly is The Hangout, now with Karen and Allison. And I, because that was one of the first shows I ever got into when I discovered more about the online comics community. And they, of course, have become friends, and, you know, I enjoy hearing them talk about comics. So that would be it for me, I guess. Yeah. What about yourself, Paul?
Well, I may have mentioned this. I drive for hours and hours every day to and from work.
Do you?
I do.
Well, so, okay.
And because of that, I have to listen to dozens of different podcasts. So I'm making up for you, pretty sure. So, yeah, some of the podcasts that I enjoy regularly, which you may enjoy regularly if you had the time. The Weekly Planet, which is sort of comic book movie news podcast, done out of Melbourne by two pretty funny buggers. That's a really good one. There's a guy called Steele Saunders, who's a massive Star Wars fan. He's a Melbourne comedian and has sort of, he's got it locked in to be the Star Wars go-to commentator in Australia. So he had a really good year. I listened to Steel Wars, which was his podcast, but I mean, like, straight up, he went to the midnight premiere of, the midnight screening of Star Wars, and then went to the pub next door and did an intimate podcast with about 400 people. Straight after seeing it. So that was really good.
Wow.
More Star Wars. There's a podcast called The Star Wars Minute, where they go through each of the Star Wars films minute by minute.
Wow.
Talking about them for a lot longer than a minute each episode.
Uh-huh.
So they've done the original trilogy, and now they've just started The Phantom Menace. So that's fantastic. iFanboy has always been in my podcast player. They have been doing comic book podcasts for years and years and years. So more than 10, I think, now. And the other thing they started this year was the Goodfellas Minute, which is doing exactly what Star Wars Minute does, except with the Goodfellas film. So, and hopefully I'll get to the Goodfellas prequel soon. Pause for laughter.
Right.
There we go. But I think the number one podcast of the year, because it's new and I wasn't expecting to love it, was probably Secret Origins podcast with Ryan Daly.
Oh, yes.
Where he's going through the DC late 1980s series Secret Origins, which has different origins of characters from the DC universe every episode. That has been a fantastic podcast to listen to.
And that is a good listen, actually, yeah.
Yeah. It really gets my nostalgia juices flowing, and there's been a lot of comics that I've pulled out and read just because of that podcast this year, which has made it harder for me to do other things this year. Anyway,
right.
Yeah. So, yeah, probably Secret Origins podcast, number one choice for 2015.
Cool.
So, yeah. But I've already got my eye on a few podcasts for 2016. I believe Shag from Fire and Water is doing a JLI
Yes, I've seen.
era podcast soon.
Yes, so I saw a mention of that on Twitter.
So that'll be fun when that one starts. It's a great run. Yeah.
Cool.
What's that ticking, Mike?
That's going to be the first ever Doom Clock for 2016, Paul. Welcome to 2016 Doom Clock. As we look upon the face of it, we can see that the last Doom Patrol book we had was still issue 22 of volume 5 from the Giffen Clark run. That's cover data July 2011 and went on sale May 4th of that same year. So it has officially been 4 years and 34 weeks since the last Doom Patrol book. That's just...
That's ridiculous.
It is. It is.
That's, yeah.
Look,
it's because of the Liberal government. We haven't had any decent Doom Patrol books since they got in.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it. But look, as our friend and fellow patroller Jess Camacho said when the JLU sneak peek came out, 2016 may very well be the year of Doom Patrol. We don't know. We don't know what they got planned. But so far, the last appearance of the team was in two comics only a mere 20 weeks ago. All-Star Section 8, number 3, the Patrol had a small cameo and a large splash page showing a meeting of all the big DC superheroes, so it was great to see them in amongst that. And Justice League United, number 12, we had a one-panel appearance of the Patrol as Stargirl was getting Robot Man to join her and the rest of the JLU team on their next mission. But this week, in Doom Patrol history, on sale on January 2nd for $1.50 and cover dated February of 1991, was issue 41 of Volume 2, titled Fallen Angel, which we've discussed on this show. This was the conclusion of the adventure in outer space that detailed the war over the Judge Rock, and it was also the issue where we said farewell to Rhea Jones, a.k.a. Lodestone. So yes, we discussed...
She flew off into space.
She did. She just said, oh, look, there's a star up there. Bye. So yes, we discussed this storyline back in episodes 35 and 38 from October 2015, with this issue featuring specifically in episode 38. So if you want to go back and hear us rant and rave about that storyline, go check those episodes out. That was good fun.
I will.
Yes.
I will.
And that's it for the Doom Clock this week.
This week on Doomsplaining, we're encapsulating our year into a handy earpiece-sized thing that you can stick in your head that will cover, you know, what were the highlights of the show for us, what do we hope for in 2016, and whatever else crosses our mind as we talk about it. So, yeah, Mike, what a year for podcasting we had.
First of all, the fact that we actually got up and running and people seem to enjoy the talk of the Doom Patrol. And it's been really interesting seeing the Doom Patrol fans come out of the woodwork, so to speak, and go, what, a Doom Patrol podcast? What the heck? So, like, when we had Gabriel Hardman, the fact we had someone like Gabriel Hardman on the show to begin with, and then, you know, he said on Twitter, oh, I hope I didn't, you know, too much on the Doom Patrol podcast. And his followers were like, what? What Doom Patrol podcasts? And he gave us, you know, gave the show name online and people came and checked us out and hopefully stuck with us a bit. That was a highlight right there.
Yeah.
And getting to meet more people and become friends with them as well online who were also fans of the Doom Patrol. That's the big, most bizarre, interesting thing that we've been able to come together and do this show, Paul, you and I, on a pretty much weekly basis. People take a few breaks because, you know, life happens, and talk about what we consider one of, if not the greatest superhero team of all time, and people seem to enjoy us doing it, which is great and bizarre at the same time. That for me is like the biggest highlight of last year. What about you, Paul?
There were so many. I mean, just the fact that we could do the show. I mean, that's one of the things I like about the Doom Patrol is there's so many aspects. You can talk about 60s comics. You can talk about 80s comics. You can talk about, you know, 2000 comics. You can talk about all the little guest appearances everywhere, because so many artists and writers seem to have a soft spot for the Doom Patrol and want to sort of use them in some way. You know, you can talk about comics that we personally love and really enjoy. You can talk about things that are controversial, like the Burn Run. But it's such an easy subject to talk about. And they've appeared so far, you know, such a wide variety of comics by DC, you know. You know, when they're not in their own book, they're still sort of popping their heads up here and there. And, you know, you get to talk about the Teen Titans. You get to talk about comics by Jeff Johns. You get to talk about, you know, ongoing runs by Paul Kupperberg and Grant Morrison and, you know, the original Premiani Drake run and things like that. You know, and for me, discovering the Premiani Drake stuff and, you know, finding out, you know, that these, you know, learning who Rita is and just loving Rita and, you know, seeing her, you know, on a month-by-month basis and in her own book and that sort of thing. It's just fantastic. Yeah. And I've loved the guests that we've had. Like that you mentioned Gabriel Hardman. You know, that was certainly a highlight. We had Chris Sabella on a couple of times. You know, and I think he's an amazing writer and I think, you know, he's going to be, you know, making waves in the industry for years to come.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. We had Jeff Parker on. Can you believe that?
I can, and I also cannot. But what I love about Jeff's appearance is that he must have known what was happening with JLU by the time, you know, with reference to that series wrapping up in the nearest future. And he did not mention a word of it to us. He was quite happy to chat about, you know, the way he works and Robot Man's appearance, and that was great. But just the fact he was, you know, so generous of his time and so gladly talked about all that stuff, and yet he still knew what was going to be happening in the not-too-distant future with the book. And I was like, you know, that's a class act right there, you know?
Yeah. And one of the fun things which you and I got to enjoy with these guys is, you know, the stuff they chatted about when we turned off the recorder.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right. When I first, thought about doing this show with you, Paul, I never in my wildest dreams imagined that we would have guests to begin with. But the caliber of guests that we've had. And we've also had, you know, people that either were or became friends because of their guest appearance. We had Jessica Boyd on to discuss the painting that ate Parrish. She was our first guest. And, you know, she has been a friend of mine and yours for a few years now. And she discovered the Doom Patrol again, pretty much, but got into it more because of this show, which I think some other people have been doing as well. I believe Will Fish, our friend on Twitter, said the same thing, that he read his first issue of Doom Patrol because of this show, which is, you know, that's great. I love the fact that people are checking it out because of us two guys rambling on about it, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, two mates of mine had got on Twitter because of the show, because they wanted to be involved. So that's shout out to Stefan, or Moby as he's known as, and James, who also known as Rift. Yes. They've been, you know, it's great to interact with them more and more online on a day-to-day basis just because of them wanting to participate in this. Yeah. So that's cool.
That's great. We're bringing people together, Paul.
Yeah. And the other guests we had were Doug Savisa.
Yes.
He brought his Doom Patrol knowledge, because he's running a Doom Patrol blog for years and years and years before we even thought about doing a podcast.
That's right.
We had Dr. Ange on to share his Supergirl expertise.
That was a lot of fun too. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of our most popular episodes of the year. It's in the top 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not that it's a competition or anything between our guests, you know. Not yet. Yeah. So, Paul, what are you looking forward to this year in 2016 for us to get to in terms of Doom Patrol and the show?
Well, I think I'm looking forward to moving from the Kupperberg run, and we'll be doing the tail end of the Morrison run, and then we might be looking at the John Arcudi run of Doom Patrol, you know, Volume 3. Mm-hmm. And I know you want to get more in depth on the John Byrne run, Volume 4.
Look, the fact that that era got its own episode as a a coverall, I think we can maybe wait a little bit longer for John Byrne. But personally, I'm keen to get towards the Rachel Pollack stuff, who was the writer immediately after Grant Morrison, because I know her run is nowhere near as popular as Morrison's, but for me, I think there's still some really interesting stuff in there. And hers was the first version of the Patrol I ever actually read. So it's wow. It's a bit of a soft spot there for me. And yeah, I'm very keen to get back to it as well. I'm glad we got the second annual out of the way, though, because that was not that was not a great moment by any means.
Right.
Try and shoehorn a crossover into the Vertigo universe. Yeah, well. But yeah, Rachel Pollack stuff for me, I'm very keen to get to that. And yeah, more of the more recent runs, which I'm not sure we will get to all of them this year. I know we want to look at some other special stuff like the Flex Mentallo miniseries.
Yeah, we've got a special guest lined up for that one as well.
And because this year will be the 20th anniversary of that series as well, I think. So we'll try and make it closer to the actual anniversary of that series. So, yeah. Anything else you're looking forward to, Paul?
2016 is always a chance that the Doom Patrol will come back. So,
mm.
Yeah, we hear rumors, we hear rumblings in the distance, things that could turn into a Doom Patrol book. So we're very hopeful and optimistic. And if a Doom Patrol book does turn up, we will be there to report on it live to everybody.
I don't know about live, but yeah. yeah, I was reading recently that DC are also going to be quite possibly chopping and changing a lot of their books as well. I read something about when a lot of the current issues hit issue 52, why is DC hung up on that number? I'll never know. That a lot of books are either going to get rebooted or be given a new status quo after that. And we're also getting a lot more miniseries coming up as well. I know Poison Ivy is getting one. So my hope would be that at least the Patrol get a miniseries like that at some stage in the year, even as a tryout thing. And then hopefully it will lead to bigger and better things from there. So, but you're right. Of course, the minute they reappear, you and I are definitely going to be there, you know?
Yeah. And there's obviously still some cachet in the name Doom Patrol because they're reprinting the Grant Morrison run again in repackaged form. They just did the Suicide Squad trade, which included the Doom Patrol Suicide Squad special.
Excellent.
Or is it a Suicide Squad Doom Patrol special? I'm not sure. Anyway, yeah, so that that got reprinted. And certainly writers and artists want to do Doom Patrol. You know, we've had people say to us they'd love to do a Doom Patrol book. You know, they just need to get the go-ahead.
And speaking of that, let's not forget the most recent, you know, almost was scenario where we had Becky Cloonan and Gerard Way both being attached to a potential Doom Patrol relaunch, you know, and he was talking about at a convention. Unfortunately, it never went anywhere, but that caliber right there showing interest and, you know, pretty, I believe the reports were that they were pretty much given the go-ahead and it just never happened. You know, that's instilling quite a bit of hope right there. So that's still great to see.
Yeah, and, you know, 2016, we've got Legends of Tomorrow starting on TV, and we've already got word that Negative Woman is going to be part of that show at some way. So, that, you know, a bit of actual Doom Patrol membership on the TV screen. So.
I'm still hoping that something comes of that Rita Farr story poster from that episode of The Flash. It was on screen for, what, 2 seconds as I walked past the cinema, and I was like, Rita Farr movie? What? So maybe Flash will come to the rescue as well. So
yeah. Now I've got some facts for you, Mike. Did you know our podcast was downloaded in 39 different countries around the world?
I did not. Wow.
Yeah. And of them, I think there's about a dozen who probably did it by mistake because there was only ever one. So pull your socks up. Belgium, Chile, China, Israel, Korea, Mexico, Malaysia, Panama, Pakistan, Portugal, Sudan, Sweden, Singapore, Turkey.
Wow.
But the countries that gave us red hot goes included countries like Netherlands, Denmark, Ireland, South Africa, Germany, Russia, India, Norway, Taiwan, a few people in the US, Australia a couple of times, United Kingdom, Canada, Mauritania, New Zealand. I could go on, but I won't. But yeah, so many countries, and that's amazing to me. Like, I thought some Aussies, a few Brits, a couple of Americans, but yeah. All of them.
Wow.
It's insane.
Well, wherever you are, in whichever country you are listening to this, thank you very much for your support. It's truly appreciated, and I hope you continue to enjoy the show with us.
Yeah. And we had people plug us. So, I mean, Mark Gray wrote an article and included us as one of his favorite podcasts. Remember
thanks,
that?
Mark. Yeah.
Yeah. We had people mention us on their blogs, like Doug and Dr. Ange. We got plugged on the Fire and Water podcast by Shag.
True, yeah.
Yeah. We got mentioned on the Secret Origins by Ryan. So.
All the comic fans coming together and just sharing the love. It's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And every week we ask questions of the week and people gave us their answers. We had 94 different people respond to our question of the week in the year.
Wow. That's insane. But thanks, guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Mm.
Truly amazing.
Great
and
stuff.
We got emails from people. We got facts about the Doom Patrol that we didn't know that we got to use on the show.
True.
Heard from Arbard and Reggie and people like that. Dr. Ange wrote in so many times.
Mm-hmm. If Reggie, you are listening, the facts you sent us about Arnold Drake, I will forever be in your debt for those because that was some great stuff. And if you ever get the chance to, Reggie, I really hope you go ahead and publish that book that you were writing on him, because that would be great to read. So
yeah.
go, you good thing. Get that book done.
And Doug, update your podcast, your blog every now and again.
Yeah, Doug. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on,
we
man.
Like reading about the Doom Patrol as much as we like talking about it.
Good times.
Mm. So, yes, we're certainly going to podcast a lot more in 2016. And to be honest, looking at our list of topics, I think we might be heading into 2017 as well.
I think it's a safe bet. Yeah. it's a hard life. Look, we've got to get to burn at some stage, you know. We can't put them off forever. And yeah. And what do we do if a new book does turn up?
We'll talk about it.
Okay. But see, we won't actually be waiting for Doom anymore, will we?
I disagree. We'll be waiting for the next issue of Doom.
I like the way you think, mister.
All waiting for the news of its cancellation.
Oh, jeez. Optimism, sir. Optimism.
Okay. Shall we move on to the mailbag?
Let's do it.
For our final episode of 2015, we asked everybody what was their favorite thing about our podcast in the first year, which is terribly indulgent, but... Made us feel good, didn't it?
Yeah, sure did.
So, here we go. We also said people could ask us anything. So, you ready for that, Mike?
I guess.
All right. So, Aaron Long, Juice005 on Twitter, he said the TikTok of the Doom Clock was one of his favorite things. And he asked, if each of you were a sandwich, what kind would you be?
I would be a gigantic pastrami sandwich from somewhere like New York Deli. Just incredibly bad for you, but so tasty. And a lot of work to get through.
Okay. I would be a Red Rooster chip sandwich with gravy.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Chips people who aren't in Australia, chips are what we call fries.
Yes.
Or what you call fries.
Yes.
Chips. They're not crisps. Well, we're getting into all sorts of language difficulties.
Oh, jeez.
Well, we heard from Jason, who's at Art of Jason, who I don't remember talking to before, so howdy.
Hi, Jason.
And he said, what's a McRib made of?
Meat.
I think it's made of McRibichlorians, and when you get enough McRibichlorians, they form a McRib.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Next.
We heard from Nicholas at Nick RDE, one of your mates, isn't he?
He is, yes. Nick and I work at the same establishment.
Same brothel. He said, how hard will you mark out when they do a new Doom Patrol book? We will mark out pretty hard, I'd say.
Pretty hard. I think there might even be giveaways organized. There might even be shouting from the rooftops. I'm not entirely sure what marking out entails, but I'll be partying pretty hard, that's for sure.
Yeah. We heard from Katie, who's at Katie Scarlet 94, and she said, question, when do I get my pony?
Can I put this to rest, finally, the whole pony thing? For those that aren't aware, some time ago in 2015, Wilfred, our Sentient Show Twitter account, said that if this show gets 1 million downloads, I, Mike, would be giving everyone a pony. Now, unfortunately, I'm not really in the position to do that. So Wilfred kind of, you know, I'm sure Wilfred meant well in trying to get us lots of listens, but there will be no ponies. Okay, there might be one pony. I might do a special pony giveaway for a special episode in the future, but that's it.
You could send everyone a chunk of a pony.
There'll be one pony on one special episode, maybe. anything to get the mental image of pony chunks out of my brain now.
Pony chunks was my nickname at school. Anyway, we heard from Bobgar Fornellis, who's at Slurmo, and he said, I like that you cover different eras. Other peeps would likely stick to the Morrison run. I like the showcase and odd appearances. And he said he likes them the most. Mm-hmm. And my fave is the original run, though. I also love the fervor you have as the presidents of the Mento fan club.
You what? Oh, Bobgar, no.
It's a bit of a love-hate with Mento, isn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
He's had some redeeming storylines, but they are few and far between.
He's never treated Rita as well as we would have.
No. And he's just a jerk. He's such a jerk. He really is. Next.
Dr. Ange has asked a question for the boys. Which is your favorite and why? Larry, Val, or Rebus? So the negative incarnation. So you've got negative man, negative woman, or Rebus, which was the merging of negative man and woman.
It's a tough call, but I'm going to say Larry. Probably more so Larry in the Giffen Clark run. He had a very dry, sarcastic wit in that incarnation, and I loved it. And the fact he was so paranoid about the birds on the beach.
Pelicans.
The pelicans. Yeah, it was something about that version of Larry that I really enjoyed. So I'll say Larry.
Okay, well, I would have said Rebus until the Giffen Clark run, and I agree with you 100% on that. That Larry was the MVP of that run.
Yeah. I think Rebus is a close second. Val, unfortunately, just didn't do a lot for me. She was cool, but the whole thing with Joshua and Val just got a bit nowheresville real fast, man, as the cool kids say. So yeah, Larry.
Star-crossed lovers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, certainly I've also enjoyed Larry from the original run too. And, you know, the Larry collapsing is never going to get me.
Everybody drink.
We heard from Moby. And he said, my favourite thing are the laughs, the wows, the sheer Aussiness of it all, and the format of each ep. Great work all round, guys.
Thanks, Moby.
We heard some D. Zavisa, Doug, hey. He said, the comfortable conversation you all have is my fave. Well, that and the Jeff Parker appearance. And he said, what would you cover if not DP? We've talked about this a bit, haven't we?
Yes, I know we've talked about probably doing a Hitman podcast.
The Tommy Monahan Hitman podcast, yes. We both love that book.
Yes, Hitman, great book. If you can track it down, go and read it. Lots of fun. I would probably also maybe think about doing a Detective Comics podcast. Just because I love Detective Comics, because it's like the original Batman book. And I just love that it's like an ongoing anthology series of Batman stories and such. It went for so long, the first volume of it. There's so many different stories and art styles and writers. I just love that the idea and the execution of that book. And it's got Batman, so it's automatically cool already.
Yeah. My other one that I'd like to do is DC events.
Ooh.
You know, start from the Crisis of Infinite Earths and go into Legends and then Millennium Invasion, you know, work your way through Final Night, Underworld Unleashed, you know, Infinite Crisis, all the way up to Final Crisis, and then probably stop at Flashpoint.
Just the good old stuff, thanks, honey.
Yeah, I mean, I love DC events, and that would be, you know, interesting to talk about. But I'm also scared of having to read that many comics.
Yeah.
And a lot of them being crap.
Right.
When you get to Millennium. Anyway. Ah, dear. All right. So we heard from Matt Roberts, who's from the Didn't Read It podcast that we talked about earlier, the late missed Didn't Read It podcast.
Yeah.
And he's a smartass, and he said, I enjoyed the 25th anniversary special. Also, how do helicopters work? It's midichlorians.
Yes.
If you get a midichlorians, they make a helicopter work.
That's right. Yes. Yes. And I'm glad you enjoyed the 25th anniversary special. We put a lot of work into that. Mm. And if Marty B enjoyed it, then it's all worthwhile. So, yes.
Okay, we heard from Jane Goffett at W Bandoy, and he said, I enjoyed your various guests throughout the year. My WFD question is, what's your current favourite comic book-based TV show?
Flash.
It's just so good.
It's but, so much fun, yeah.
Probably my second favourite of the year was Jessica Jones. Jessica Jones was very good.
That was good. I think what is in Flash's favour is that it is not as dark as other comic book TV shows that I've watched.
Yeah, no, my whole family sits and watches The Flash, and, you know, they all like something about it, and it's fun. It's funny. It's like a DC encyclopedia come to life. Like, you're seeing so many things on screen that, you know, if you know your DC comics, it's just, you know.
The lead up to an appearance of Grodd alone had me grinning like an idiot. And my wife was sitting there watching it going, what's going on? And I'm like, it's Grodd. So yeah, Flash, definitely Flash, always Flash.
And I've got high hopes for Legends of Tomorrow January. Woo-hoo. Okay, we've got another question from Moby One, Shmoby, and he said the musical interludes are great, but why don't you play more Doom? He likes his heavy metal, Moby, so I think
is there a band called Doom?
I don't know, it could be a heavy metal style.
I thought he may have meant the music from the old computer game Doom.
Yeah, it could mean that. Yes. Could, this is a deep question on many levels. I don't know.
Okay.
We heard from Will Fish, who said, I read my first Doom Patrol issue because of your podcast, which I say sincerely, thank you. And he put his two pictures that he did. So the picture of the Smurfs as the Doom Patrol that he did for you.
Yes.
And Monsieur Mallet and the Brain that he did for me. So he is a fantastic artist, and he sent us some fantastic art. And we are forever in your debt, Will.
Will Fish, legend and gentleman.
All right. Now, I'm very nervous now because I've got a tweet from Karthik Karkarella, and he says, the way you guys pronounce my name and often toss in such a nice unexpected compliment when getting to my answer is one of his favorite things. Do we do his name wrong? I don't know.
I think Karthik probably would have mentioned something to us diplomatically if we were, but I'm pretty sure we are pronouncing it correctly.
And he asks, what kind of non-Doom Patrol comic would you be in together? I think we'd have to be in a comedy comic.
Well, yeah, I guess. I wasn't sure if he meant what current kind of comic we would be, because I would think that in that case, we would probably be something like Superman Batman.
I don't know. I could see us more in something like Squirrel Girl, or we could be Doom Dudes or something.
No, I don't know. But I don't know. You're the bright, sunny, cheerful one. So you're Superman and I'm the dark, brooding. What did you call me that episode? Psychopath?
I don't recall that.
I think that was last episode.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like me.
Oh, I think it was, sir. So yeah, but you're right. It'd probably be some sort of comedy book that we would be in, I dare say. Maybe something like, oh, what's that one from Valiant? Is it Quantum and Woody, probably.
Quantum
like
and
that.
Woody. Garvey and Hixie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. We heard from Rift, 1821, who, my mate James, I'm in his house right now as I record. He's at work, but I still get a tweet from him because his wife is reporting what I'm saying occasionally. So,
wow.
Anyway, he said, the Age of Ultron ep spoiler ep was fun, especially when the last ep Paul claimed there were no spoilers on this podcast. It's not on record, so anyway. Anyway, he said, the clear joy, passion, and fun you guys have doing the show and interacting with us listeners. I do enjoy the off-topic overshares, most recently the Phil Collins gold. If I saw you driving, I would not lend a hand.
I don't know why you went there with that one, but anyway.
It was a bit like confession, you know, when you just got to get something off your
right.
chest.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Uh-huh. Forgive me, music, for I have sinned. Yes. Anyway. The post-step editing Easter eggs, fun little surprise. That's you, Mike. You do yes. the editing, so you pop in the weird. You always surprise me with the music at the end, and
occasionally
tidbits.
the funny bits at the very end that the people deserve to hear.
Mm. Mm. Rich said, "I think I should just say the whole show and be done with it." Yeah, you should. Yep. That's if you could choose a superpower, what would it be?
Intangibility.
Wow. Okay. The ability to make better choices.
That's a superpower?
It would be.
Right. Jeez. Okay. Mm. And we got even more questions after a certain retweet went out. We got another question from Dr. Ange. He asked who our favorite Legionnaire is.
Tenzel Kem. Matter Eater lad.
Yeah. That dude. I'm going to say the dude that either looks like a hairy wolf dude with a wolf logo on his costume and fights, or there's another guy that has like a glass faceplate, but there's all this furry energy kind of coming out of it.
You're talking about Timberwolf and Wildfire.
Can you tell I haven't read a lot of Legion comics?
You sound like a historian there.
Right. Anyway, we heard...
Tenzel Kem, he can eat anything. That's his power. So right. The Justice League could use him. Any mm-hmm. situation where there's a problem, you could just eat it.
Right. If a problem comes along, you must eat it. That's his motto, is it? Right. Good. Clearly I'm missing out there.
There you are.
Yes. Aaron Long at Juice005 trolled us once again and asked, you do a podcast? Yes, Aaron, we do. We heard from a friend of the show, Jessica, at She-Hulk's Boss. She said, my favorite thing is when you skip around and are able to talk about a variety of Doom Patrol topics. Thanks. That's what we're hoping to do more of this year as well.
We should film us skipping around.
No. Oh, God, no. Us skipping is going to become the ponies of 2016. Great.
Okay, now we got a couple of emails. So the first one came from, I think it's Astrakis, our friend Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
He said, to answer your question, my favorite thing about your podcast is that it exists. I loved the Doom Patrol for a long time and always thought they were an underrated team, so I'm really happy to find some other people who love them as much as I do. Also love having an excuse to go back and read some stuff I haven't revisited in a very long time. My weeks would be less fun without WFD, so thanks to Gabriel Hardman for tweeting about your show and introducing me to it. I'm looking forward to the next year, and I hope you get to the Flex Mentello Limited series soon. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Kevin. Thanks, Kevin.
That's
we
awesome.
Will get to the Flex Mentello series.
We will.
Unless we die.
We will get to the Flex Mentello series. God. Jeez. Optimism, Captain. And we got our final bit of correspondence, another email from Dr. Ange. And he said, happy anniversary and thanks for the year of great episodes. As a big-time Doom Patrol fan, this show has been a boon for me. I love listening to the episodes and am glad to interact both here and on Twitter. The question of the week was, what do I like best about the show? Well, the whole format is great. But if I had to say what I like best, it is that you guys cover all of the Doom Patrol and hop around through their timeline on the show. It would be easy to just go chronologically or concentrate on the Morrison stuff, but you guys delve into all the incarnations. Keeps it fresh and always enlightening. Personally, I was glad to appear as a guest host and chat with you guys about the Patrol. Thanks again for the invite. Here's to another year of Patrol goodness.
Thank you, Ange. Thanks, Ange.
Yeah, good stuff. I think that for me, that's another good thing about the show is that, yeah, we are kind of hopping back and forwards between the different runs. Because as you said, there's so much stuff there to uncover. I mean, there was even stuff that I discovered for the first time this year, thanks to you, Paul, with the Legends of the DC Universe 80-page giant. Episode.
The James Robinson story, yeah.
James Robinson, yeah. That I didn't even know that existed. So, and, you know, Find of the Teen Titans stuff as well. That's been great fun as well. So, yeah, good stuff all around.
Awesome, yes. Okay, that's all that we've got for Waiting for Doom for this week. If you want to get in touch with us once again, you can contact Wilfred at WFDpod. Send us an email at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. There's Facebook if you want to chat to us on Facebook. And I just personally want to thank James and Ali for letting me use their house every week to record the show in. It's much better than trying to use the library email, Wi-Fi, and my own poor NBN-deprived house in the country. Also like to thank Mike's Amazing World of Comics for all the facts about comics over the year that we've used. Yes. Yes, you're a madman, Mike, and your site is truly amazing.
Mm. Yes.
And Mike, I'd like to thank you for all the editing you do, and you know, you are the know-how, you are the, you know, the B.A. Baracus of this podcast. builds it.
Right. Thank you, Paul.
You're the MacGyver.
Okay, I'll take MacGyver. Let's stop there before we start getting back to, you know, Maxwell Lord and like last episode. MacGyver is plenty compliment. Thank you, Paul. No, thank you once again. It's been a lot of fun this year. Getting to know you personally, Paul, has been great. It was so cool to actually get to hang out with you at Oz Comic Con here in Brisbane this year. It's been a lot of fun doing the show with you. Clearly, people are enjoying us doing the show. So, you know, roll on 2016, I say.
We have no injunctions to cease and desist.
Excellent. Shall we tell the listeners what we're going to be talking about next time?
Okay, so the first full proper episode of 2016, and we will be looking at, well, what happens every now and again if you're with DC for a while? You get a crisis comes along. Mm. So we're going to look at Infinite Crisis and its impact on the Doom Patrol, which was important and interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would be an insignificant and boring episode. So that's handy that it's important and interesting.
True, yes.
And we are asking the question, what was your favourite bit of Infinite Crisis?
Lots of good stuff. It'll be interesting to see what people choose for that. Yeah, because a fair bit happened.
Yeah, a lot. We're going to get a lot of... my favourite bit was when Blue Beetle got shot in the head.
Rightio. Roll on 2016. Okay, let's wrap it up there. Thanks for listening, guys. We will catch you again next time on Waiting for Doom.
Bye.